It is Christmas season, right? Christmas season is so perfect. About every 12 months, I feel ready for Christmas, right? It's like just right on time. It's such a good reminder as we start the Christmas season. It's kind of a happy time generally, right? The music's kind of happy, and at least the mood they try to create with the lights and the decorations, trying to create this setting of joy and happiness and all that. It's a time that we use the word Merry, right? We never say Merry anything else in the world. You never say Merry birthday. We never say Merry except for Christmas. So it's a time of this happiness, right? It's a time of gathering as families, and it's time of giving gifts and receiving gifts, and they kind of really try to pump it up with joy. But we, of course, know the real reason for our joy is Jesus Christ, right? That because the baby Jesus was born into this earth and commemorates that day when Jesus was born into this earth, and so that's why we celebrate Christmas and the true reason for the joy that we have. And so that's why we're going through this series, and we've been going through God with us, the significance that God came to live with us, that God came to earth and became amongst us. And so that's what we've been focusing on. Today we're going to continue to focus on that. And now we're going to be talking about not just the fact that Jesus was born in a manger and all that, not just that scene, but we're going to be talking about the significance, not just that he was born on earth, but that he lived amongst us. Yes. About what he did. Not just that he was born, but what he did during that time, what his life was like, what his experience was, and ultimately what he accomplished during his time there. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Because before Jesus came, back before the manger and Bethlehem and that whole deal, the people God had chosen as his, Israel, they were living in the old system, the sacrificial system. They were living under the law. And because that the people of God continued, they were like sinning and screwing up, right? We know about that. They were messing up. And whenever they sinned and did the things God didn't want them to do, it broke the fellowship that God had with them. God wanted to have this close relationship with them, but they kept sinning, and as they sinned, it divided them. And so in his graciousness, he says, I'm going to set up a system that's going to help with that. I'm going to set up this sacrificial system that's going to just symbolically represent their inner heart of repentance. When they sin, this sacrificial system is going to set up this symbolic thing about representing their repentant heart and his forgiveness, his divine forgiveness. So they set up the sacrificial system. But the problem was, they kept sinning and sinning. And even the priests were sinning and sinning. Everybody was sinning and sinning. And so they had to keep doing these sacrifices. And it wasn't totally fixing the problem. It was a symbolic thing, but it didn't totally fix the problem. And the true issue, what they really needed above anything else, they needed not just any priest, they needed the perfect priest to come in to provide not just any old sacrifice, but the perfect sacrifice. That would take care of the sin problem once and for all and restore fellowship once and for all. And that's what he did in Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, he became the perfect high priest to handle he didn't have to sacrifice his own sins because he was sinless. And then he provided the perfect sacrifice that would handle all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, once and for all, and to handle the problem. And because of that, that's why we celebrate Christmas, right? Because understanding that Jesus as our high priest, what he accomplished during his life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The significance, not just of Jesus' birth, and not just of his death on the cross, but also his life as high priest. What he learned as high priest during his time, his 33 years walking this earth, what he experienced during that time, that is so relevant to us today. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Jesus as our high priest. And the significance that what he experienced during his life here on earth. So with that, our passage today is in Hebrews that we'll be looking at. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Again, we don't have bulletins today. So if you're a note taker, did you get my email?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to show up here. If you like taking notes, you can do that still. If you want to jot them down somewhere. But so it's up to you if you'd like to do that. But there's some comment cards in the back. You can use one of those or... If you like to write your Bible, you can jot there, but some people don't do that. It's like they feel like that's sacrilegious or something. Hebrews chapter 4, starting verse 14. I don't think it's sacrilegious. I think it's actually healthy. But that's up to you. It's your Bible. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 is what we're going to be reading today about Jesus as high priest. All right, are you here turning? I think we're about there. Hebrews 4, starting verse 14. That's what it says. Therefore, Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. All right, so that's our passage today, and our main point that we're going to be pulling out of this, our central thought, main point of this, that because Jesus faced it first, I can stand no matter what with him as my high priest. Because Jesus faced it first, I can stand no matter what with Jesus as my high priest. No matter what comes along our way, we can know that we can stand because Jesus did it first. That Jesus, when he came to be our high priest, you notice he didn't just do it from, he didn't just do it on his throne from heaven. He didn't stay up there in heaven on a big old throne looking down. He got down off his throne and came down and lived among us. He experienced life at its fullest. He experienced life at its hardest. Right? He experienced everything that we experienced, the good and the bad and the ugly. He got it. He was there. He experienced it himself. Jesus wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. All right? And he, if anybody should have been, it would have been him. Right? He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And yet, he chose to be born as a little baby. And not just a little baby like in royalty. No, a little baby became a carpenter and this, you know, unwed couple and young and born in the barn, the whole deal. He didn't come down. If it were me and I was coming down to be the savior of the world, I would have been glowing. I think I would have chosen to glow. I would have been about 20% bigger than everyone else. I would have been I would have been awesome in many ways, right? I would have found the highest position to take, right? Not just president of the country, but of the world, right? Because that's what that's how he could have been in that way. He would have been totally right. It still would have been a big downgrade for him. But yet, when he came and chose to experience life, all of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the ugliness of this world. He experienced that. He was willing to experience all that for us. And because that he's experienced all those hard things, because of that, we can hold firm to the faith that we have. Right? Hold firm to the faith that we profess. That when we go through hard times, when we're having difficulty, when life does not work out like we want it to work out, when we're at those lowest points, it says we can still hold firm to the faith that we have. Why? Because we have a high priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who's been tempted in every way. All right, we have a high priest that was willing to enter in, and he lived it. He knows it personally. He's lived it. And because of that, we can know, we can hold firm to the faith that we have in the midst of those low points because he was willing to do that, right? And for us, usually Christmas is a time when we downplay the negatives, right? We try to push all that hard stuff down and try to embrace the Merry Christmas, and we get rid of the, you know, we do our best to put on a smile and live it out, all those sort of things. But it doesn't have to be that way. Matter of fact, it shouldn't. It doesn't got to be that way. Because Christmas tells us, because Jesus was willing to come into this planet and live an ordinary life, even blow ordinary, a difficult life, we don't have to put on a happy face. We can know that in the midst of all the hardships and all the struggles, that we can still hold firm to the faith that we have because Jesus has been there. He knows. You can be real with him. He knows. He's been there. He's experienced the hardships. And Christmas tells me I can stand, right? I don't got to get knocked down and all these things. I can stand no matter what happens. Because Jesus raised it first, I can stand no matter what with him as my high priest. Okay, so Christmas tells us that, right? That he was willing to be born as a baby and live this life here on earth and to experience the fullness. He didn't do the whole forgiveness thing just from up on the throne. He got down off the throne and came and engaged with us. All right, so what did he learn? What do we know about our high priest? Because he experienced life on earth and the good, the bad, and the ugliness of life, what do we know about our high priest? Well, we know my high priest knows this. He knows a few things. He learned some things. We learned this from Hebrews chapter 4. This is all going to come out of verse 15, which I think is one of the coolest verses of the Bible. It's one of the mind-blowing verses of the Bible. I just read it, but we're going to see. You're going to follow along in just a second on why this is so mind-blowing. So this is what we know. Because of Christmas and his life spent on earth, my high priest knows. One, he knows weakness. He knows weakness. Verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Now think about this for a second. Almighty God, all-powerful God, creator of the universe, the one who can do all things, there's nothing outside of his control and outside of his power, knows weakness. The one, there's nothing that he can't do. He can do all things. He knows weakness. That he can have an understanding of what it is to feel weak. He understands, because he was willing to get off that cross and come experience life as we experience it, he knows what it's like to be tired, to be weary, to be at the end of your rope and just be done, to be exhausted. He knows what that's like. The Almighty, all-powerful God, we can go to him with our weakness and our tiredness, and when we're fed up with life, we can't feel like we can't go another day. And he says, I know I get it. I know I've been there. And he knows that. The Almighty, powerful God, all-powerful God, can relate with you on that level. Because he knows what it's like to be weak. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. We see all through the Gospels of his life experience as he's living life. He knows what it's like to be sad. He knows what it's like to mourn the passing of a loved one. He's done that. Because he wept himself, right? He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to be frustrated. He knows what it's like to experience all these difficulties of life. He can relate to us in our weakness, and we can relate to him. When life isn't working out like we want it to be, when we're at our low, we feel stretched and thin, and like, I just can't take it another day, and I don't know how I'm going to get through life, and just forget about tomorrow, even today's too much. I got these worries and stresses. I feel weak and all these things. He can relate to us in that. Because he chose to come and live that life, because he was born as a baby, lived a life here on earth with us, he knows weakness. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. So he gets it. He knows what it is to have a friend betray you. Have you ever had a friend back out on you and treat you wrong? And the betrayal that you feel? Yeah. Don't call him out if you're in the room. You. He knows what that's like. Judas, when he picked 12 people to hang out with, and one of them sold him out, right? And the other 11, when it came time when it really hit the fan, they bolted, right? They ran off. He knows what it's like to have a friend betray him. He knows what that feels like, right? He knows what it's like to have family let you down when they don't believe in you, don't encourage you. Remember, he was preaching, and mom and brother said, hey, get him down from there. That's crazy talk. What are you doing? Jesus, people are staring. Stop it. Right? He knows what that's like to have your family not believe in you. Right? He knows what it's like to be unjustly accused of something and targeted. You ever been at your job and you feel like you're getting singled out, it's not right, it's not fair? He knows, he's been there. He knows what that's like. I mean, shoot, he got in on a cross that he didn't get to go there. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be physically violent, to be abused, have physical harm done to his body. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to be tied up and beaten and all that. He knows that. He's experienced pain. Hardship. He's experienced all that. He's experienced the God of this universe, the Almighty, again, mind blowing to me, the Almighty, all powerful God of this universe understands weakness. He knows what it's like to be weak. And you would think, well, that's not possible, right? Because he's not, he can do anything. It'd be like, you know, it's like creating a round circle, you know, a round square. You can't do it. They're opposites. But no, he can do it. He's done it. And he's all powerful, and yet he also understands our weakness. He can sympathize with our weakness. He didn't just live his life untouched up on the throne, but he got down and lived with us so that he could sympathize with us. So one, we know, because of Christmas, we know that our high priest can sympathize with our weakness. He understands weakness. He knows weakness. Number two, he knows temptation. He knows temptation. Verse 15 again, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. That's that. Amazing. The holy, incorruptible God of this universe knows temptation. He knows what it's like when that thing just draws you, right? He knows that feeling that we as humans face, right? When that temptation just pulls on you and you feel like you fight it for a while, but you feel like it's just sucking you and you can't help it. You kind of let your hands go and go with it, right? He knows that feeling. He knows what it's like to be tempted. The holy, incorruptible God of this universe, by experience, because he was experiencing it himself. He was willing to enter in, engage in this planet, come down to live a life here on earth with us, so he could experience the fullness of our life, including temptation. Including temptation. The Bible talks about some of those temptations. Before he began his ministry, in Matthew chapter 4, he had this time in the desert. He went in the desert for 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil. He was in there fasting. All right, so he was fasting, and he had nothing to eat. So if you've ever been at that point where you're like, man, I'm hungry, I don't know where the next meal is going to come, I'm about ready to do whatever to get that meal. He knows exactly where you're at, because he'd been there. He'd gone 40 days without eating, and the devil said, hey, why don't you steal those rocks? Turn them into bread, you're good to go. But that wasn't God's plan for him, and he knew it, so he called him out. Right? He knew that that was outside of what God wanted him to do in this, so he called him out. But he knows that feeling, that temptation. That very earthly, real temptation, he knew it. Also, during that same temptation time, the devil says to Jesus, he puts him on this cliff overlooking the kingdoms of this world. He says, tell you what, Jesus, bow down to me right now, and you can have all this. It's all yours. Now, you're trying to tell me that wasn't temptation. Jesus knew what he was about to do. He was on that planet to go to the cross so that he could buy back the kingdoms of this world, right? So buy back all the people of this world. It's almost like the devil gave a shortcut. Say, you don't got to do all that cross. You don't got to do that hard stuff. You don't got to do all that. Just bow down to me and you can have it. Has he ever made that lie to you? You don't got to do that hard stuff. Trying to follow God's plan is so difficult, so hard. You don't got to do that. Just bow down to me and I'll take care of all these things. I'll meet your needs. I'll handle things. You just bow down to me. He knows. Jesus knows what that temptation is like. Because he's been there. He's experienced this. Talk about real temptation. Think about the leading up to the cross. He's getting beaten and whipped and mocked, blindfolded. They're punching him. They're prophesying. He's taking me out. Bang, bang, bang. At any time, he could have been like, that's it. That's it. Who in this room would have been, Talk about temptation. But he didn't do that. I mean, picture the Pharisees are calling the king of this universe a liar. Calling him a liar. And here he is, he is truth. He is truth, and they're calling him a liar. And think how hard it must not have been just to let him have it, right? To let him know. Because he knows, so he knows temptation. He's been tempted. This verse says he's been tempted in every way. Just as we are in every way. Whatever temptation you got, he's felt it. He knows that temptation. We know that Jesus was fully man during his time here on earth. He didn't come down, he wasn't just God in a man suit, he put on a suit and walked around, No, he experienced it. He was fully man, fully God, and fully man. So he experienced all that this world has to offer. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And so he knows temptation. He was tempted in every way. And that tells me that he was fully man, he was tempted in every way. I'm sure he experienced sexual temptation. He had to have, right? I'm sure he felt that temptation. He knew the temptation of pride, right? Especially when he deserved to be on the throne. All his existence, he's got these angels singing glorious praises to him. And now here he is in these little measly created beings are spitting on him and punching him. He knew, so he knew that temptation of wanting to step out. He knew the temptation of revenge, right? He knew those temptations. Whatever temptation we feel, he can relate to it. He's been tempted in every way. So we can be very thankful at Christmas because our Savior, our High Priest, he didn't just go straight from the throne to the cross. He didn't do it all up in heaven. He came and engaged with us and lived that 32 years so that he could sympathize with our weaknesses and know that and understand our temptations. All right, so we can know that he knows those things. He knows weakness. He knows temptation. And the third thing he knows, the final thing he knows is this. Also from verse 15, he knows victory. He knows victory. All right, verse 15 again from the beginning. It says, I'm telling you, I love verse 15. Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, temptation, yet was without sin. Was without sin. In the midst of all that, in the midst of the weakness, in the midst of temptation that he felt, he had victory. And it may feel like, of course he had victory. He didn't have to bat an eye at that. Some people debate, could he even be tempted? Yes, he could be tempted. He was fully man. And could he have sinned? I think he could have. But he didn't. And he had victory. And that victory, because of that victory, we all get victory. Right? We're going to share in that victory. He lived the life that you and I were supposed to live, the sin-free life, so that he then could die the death that we should have died. Right? That he had victory in that he lived out that perfect sin-free life in the face of the weaknesses, his weaknesses, his sin, and all that, yet he did not sin. He had victory. And that victory goes to all of us. That's what we just sang in that the last song we sang. Come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. That's us. This is what this is talking about. That we get that victory. In the face of all of this, we get his victory. That he lived the life we should have lived, and then died the death we should die. Right? So that we too can have victory. So yes, he knows weakness. Yes, he knows temptation, but he also knows victory. So he can relate to us. So what does that mean for us? Where does that take it to us? Where does that bring to us? So our high priest knows weakness, he knows temptation, he knows victory. So what can I know? Here's what I can know then. That I can always come to him no matter what. That I can always come to him no matter what. So verse 16, the response to verse 15, the very next verse is this. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our time of need, at our lowest point, when you need something, right? When you can't do it on your own, when you try it on your own, you can't do it, you realize, I need to change, I need something different. After your time of need, at our lowest point, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. In the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our temptation, in the midst of our failure, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Typically, thrones, you don't get to approach thrones, right? If you and I want to walk in the White House right now, we couldn't do it, right? And that's just president of a little country. You couldn't just go walk in and see President Obama. Yeah, it's going through. It's a good job. Like this. You know. Just get the website up. You can't just approach a throne, right? In fact, you couldn't either, so that, you know, that's a big deal. And even God's throne, in Revelation chapter 1, John had a vision of Jesus as he currently is on the throne. And when he saw Jesus sitting on the throne, and this is John is Jesus' best friend while they were on earth, right? And he was called the Beloved, so he was really close with Jesus and had this good relationship and all that. He saw Jesus on the throne, and he didn't run up and give a hug and say, I missed you, Jesus. It's been so good. Man, I missed you. How things? He said he feels so dead. He just collapsed as dead when he saw Jesus on the throne. Because that's a big deal, right? The throne is a big deal. With God on the throne, that's a big deal. And yet, this because of our high priest, we can know that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Again, when we in our time of need, when we fall, when we fail, we can still approach with confidence to receive grace and mercy. Why? Because he knows. He's been there. Oh, Jesus, I know I messed up. I know I've been. I know what you're going through. I know what temptation you face. That is a tough one. I remember that. Yeah, I remember weakness. Yep, I've been there. I know what that's like. He knows. He's been there. And so it makes forgiveness available to us. Right? His throne to receive grace and mercy. It makes that available to us. And why is it so important? And this is kind of the key to this, about being able to stand firm. Remember it started with stand firm. Because we have a high priest, we need to stand firm. What's the key to this is understanding this, that in the midst of our weakness that he can sympathize with, in the midst of our temptation, which he knows, we can still approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive grace and mercy. Okay? So what's the key to this is understanding that in the midst of those weakness, in the midst of at our low point, we can still approach the throne of grace with confidence. Because what too often happens, devil gets in there, what does the devil say at our weakest point? When we're at our lowest low, the devil says, you dirty, unworthy piece of garbage. You got no business going to God. You should slink off of that corner. Right?
Right.
And our sin, when we fail in our battle with temptation and our weakness, maybe it's a moment of doubt or whatever, we feel like, I can't go to God. He can't see me like this. I got to get right a little bit first so that I can present myself to God. Yeah, let me clean up. I got to clean up so I can go get to God. But that's exactly the opposite. Because our God knows. He's lived it. He did it himself. He's experienced it. He knows your weakness. Because he can sympathize with that. Not as an outsider, like, oh, yeah, see, I can try to cognitively understand it. No, he's been there. He lived it because he chose. On Christmas, he was born, and then he lived the next 33 years on this planet to experience the things that you and I experience so he can sympathize with us. So what does that mean for you and me? That at our lowest low, when the time when we're defeated and weak and beat down by temptation, we can still come confidently to the throne of grace. And we receive mercy and grace from him. Right? So because too often what happens is at that moment we feel like I can't go to God. We feel like the biggest consequence of our sin is it divides us from God, right? That if I'm in sin, if I've sinned, I mess up, then I feel like I can't go to God, and then I turn away from God. And that's the turning away from God, a bigger problem than the sin is even. Because we're turning away from God at that point. We're shutting down the spirit, saying, I don't want to hear that. I'm too unworthy and through all these things. But that's not true. He knows. He tells us right out. He can sympathize with our weakness. He's experiencing temptation for himself. Therefore, we can stand firm in the faith and in the faith that we profess and go confidently before the throne to receive grace and mercy. So what's that really saying? He is ready to receive you. In the midst of your ugliness, in the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your temptation, he's ready to receive you. And he always is. He's ready to receive you. Right? And when he got off that throne and experienced it for himself, he knows. He gets it. All right, and he's ready to receive you. So don't believe that lie that I can't go to God because I'm too much of a sinner, I'm too messed up. No, you're not too messed up. He knows, okay? And he's ready to receive you. You can step to the throne of grace at any time that you want. Whenever in any moment, you can step to the throne of grace. You don't know how to get cleaned up first. You don't know how to do any of that. We can always step to the throne to receive grace and mercy. Alright? So that's the reason we can celebrate Christmas, right? That's something that we can be excited about Christmas. That not only was he born as a baby, but that signifies the start of him experiencing this life on earth. And what that tells us about him and his love for us and what he's wanting to do for you and I. Yes, the cross is awesome. That's what it's all about. But even the 33 years living up to the cross is incredible. You know, that he experienced all this so that he can sympathize with us. So, if that's you today, I encourage you to step to the cross. You don't feel like you got to clean yourself up. You don't got to do that. Okay? You don't have to get right any sort of way. It just come to the cross. As you are, you can come and receive mercy at the cross. So with that, I want to pray for us. And right now, in your silence, in the quietness of your own heart, examine your life. Examine your heart. If that's something that you want to do, I want to pray for you. So let's bow. Everyone bow your head right now where you're sitting and close your eyes. I'm going to close this in prayer. But I want to pray for you. If that's something you want to do, if you want to come to the throne of grace for the first time or the millionth time, it doesn't matter. If you want to receive grace this morning and get right with God, just slip your hand in the air right there. I want to pray for those who want to do that. And I'm going to be praying for you, but really what's going to be happening is what's going on in your heart. That's the true significant action. Because God loves you. He knows. He knows weakness. He knows temptation. And he's ready to receive you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you so much for your forgiveness. So God, you know we're weak. We face temptation. Sometimes we do good, sometimes we don't. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us anyways. I thank you that you proved that love to us by living that life amongst us, experiencing those things with us. And God, I pray for each one of us, especially those with their hands raised today, that you would receive us in your grace and mercy. That you would take away guilt and replace it with peace. That you would wash those sins away and from the sin you would give us holiness. God, help us to live anew for you. You're so good to us. You're so loving. We thank you for it. We celebrate you this Christmas season. And through all that, God, I pray that you would help us to keep in mind what an impact it made. You came to this earth for us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.